That Don't Sound Right is a podcast about talking. Talking the way we did before the internet, when you could not prove anyone right or wrong.
All the expertise was contained in the people involved with the conversation. I'm Peter.
I'm Cecil. And I hope you enjoy our conversations. And as you listen, if you find yourself silently saying, "That don't sound right," send us a comment. You're one of us.
A cool cup of coffee. I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, throw that in the microwave for 1 minute,
right?
And I'm good to go. I really am. I do that. I'll do that at home, and even if there had been cream in it for a while. Right. Welcome back to another episode of That Don't Sound Right, a podcast about talking. We're your co-host. I'm Peter Billman.
I'm Cecil Davis.
And we're just trying to have a conversation without using Google or fact-checking things online. Those things can so easily kill the conversation. But we just want to make sure everyone knows that there's sometimes we can just use Google. It's okay. It's okay. We're not, you know, we're not hard and fast on this. We're not. Right. We don't want to sound like rigid people that aren't flexible in the way you have a conversation.
I guarantee you we look up a lot of stuff. I do.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
I won't speak for you, but yeah, anytime I'm working on something, like this week I had to diagnose an emergency brake.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So I was Googling all kinds of stuff for emergency brake diagnosis.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And this morning, Camille asked me, what is a constant variable? Do you know what a constant variable is?
A constant variable.
Right. Yeah, I got thrown off in the same way you got thrown off.
Oh, constant variable.
But there is a true definition for this, which I had to Google, even though I should have known it.
Let's let the listeners think about this. A constant variable. Well, it's a variable.
Yes.
Well, I would think that it's a variable inside of a formula. So you can have variables in a formula.
Yes.
And those variables can stay constant.
That's what I thought initially.
And you were wrong.
I was wrong.
All right.
That's where I went initially.
All right. So a constant variable.
Once I tell you, you're going to go, oh, man, that's...
I know. This is where we don't Google it, right?
Right,
This
is where you don't Google it.
I won't Google it. I'm going to let you have the pleasure of telling me and getting... So this is the reason why you don't Google it, right?
Right.
Because now you're going to get great pleasure of telling me something you know.
That's right.
Go for it.
So a constant variable is a variable that you hold constant during a experiment. For example, if you want to have your temperature set for the same for all of your experiments, you would hold it at like 32 degrees constant.
Right.
For all of the experiments. So it's a constant variable.
Right. And it's only particularly useful when you have more than one variable in the experiment.
Right.
You're going to hold one of them constant.
Or a control variable.
Yeah. So you only do single variable changes, right?
Right. Which I usually like to do multiple ones at a time. Like if I have an issue on a car, I'm like, well, let's just change this, this, and this, and then you don't know what you fixed.
I forgot the procedure or the algorithm or what exactly it's called, but you know, let's say you have four different variables. Each of them can be two different options,
right?
So now you have 16 different experiments you can run. Is that right? Do I have that right?
It's four square.
I think it's four square, right? So it's how many variables and how many different options could you have? So it's four squared. So you have 16 different options in the matrix. But there's a statistical method, and my daughter's taking AP stats right now, so she could, I wouldn't even need to Google it. I could just Charlottepedia.
You could ask.
So I could ask Charlotte, but there's some statistical strategies in which immediately eliminate some of the 16.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's all part of statistics.
Now,
it doesn't give you 100% confidence because you didn't do them all.
Right.
But it might give you 90% confidence. Yeah. It might give you 95% confidence.
Depends what you're doing.
But you had to look it up. But you had to look up what a constant variable is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so eventually.
And then when I said, I was like, oh, well, that makes sense.
Eventually, like, or maybe how about some specific facts?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, yeah, we're not against it.
Right.
We're against killing conversations.
What year was Harriet Tubman born? You know.
All right.
What are you going to do?
Right.
You don't know.
You're going to look that up.
We're going to look that up. That's right.
Yeah, so we're not against that. We're just against killing conversations. And we've almost killed our own conversation with our intro today. I'm sure we've lost some visitors, listeners on the
app. Yeah, sorry about that. But
we could talk about constant variables all day.
Well, we won't. Right now, I'm sipping some really great coffee.
But this was fresh-made coffee. I offered you stale, old coffee.
Which, you know, I don't know. I'm not too... I mean, I like a good cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But my bandwidth for good coffee is rather broad.
I was happy for you
offered me a cool cup of coffee. I'm like, oh yeah, throw that in the microwave for 1 minute,
right?
And I'm good to go. I really am. I'll do that at home, and even if there'd been cream in it for a while. Right. Throw it in there for a minute, I'm good to go. And then you said
that my microwave doesn't work anymore. And hasn't probably for a year.
And
which
I said,
you were incredulous.
And it's still in there.
It's still in there.
You still have a microwave in your...
This is a built-in microwave.
You have a built-in microwave over your range that doesn't work, and you're not going to fix it.
The vent still works. The microwave does not.
I guess the light works, too.
The light works, too.
And that's why you keep it.
And this was a...
Well, does it vent to the outside?
No.
I'm really wondering why you're keeping this thing.
It may vent to the outside. I have not thought of it. It may.
Okay.
It at least vents up into the crawl space.
It's somewhere.
So, yeah. No, our microwave went out, and we...
Wait, how long ago was this?
I bet it's been a year.
Okay.
And we decided not to replace it.
This was a conscious decision.
This was a conscious decision not to get it fixed.
How did that conversation go? Because I'm just saying right now that don't sound right. I mean...
Not having
a microwave. How much microwaving did you do?
We did a lot.
Okay, so what was the conversation?
So, you have popcorn... You have certain things that only come that can really only be cooked as a microwave.
Yeah,
these
right.
little fast eating bowls that you get at Trader Joe's.
Right. Most frozen dinners.
Frozen dinners. Then again, if you're heating up coffee, you can just pop it in the microwave and heat it up.
Heating up water.
Heating up water.
It's a cinch.
Melting things.
Getting
like chocolate.
Hot chocolate and butter and chocolate melted for baking.
Almost indispensable, you would say.
What are you doing?
We have gone back to the Stone Age.
Wait a minute. So tell me about the conversation. How did this go down?
Well, so we redid the kitchen some years ago. So this was, and we took out the old appliances, put in new appliances. All of the old appliances that we took out probably are still somewhere running, and I have replaced most of the new appliances at least once.
And if you're really quiet on this podcast, you can hear the refrigerator.
That's the second refrigerator I've had to take. So I had an old refrigerator that worked really well. The new refrigerator I bought that had some bells and whistles on it died. So anyways, that's probably a whole nother episode in itself. So there's this microwave. Again, I would say it's a higher-end microwave. And it has, like, I've replaced the magnetron in it at least once.
You've replaced the magnetron?
Well, not me. I had it replaced.
Really?
So it's now gone out for a second time.
Wait, how much does it cost to replace a magnetron?
Probably $150, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was less than you thought. Than I thought.
Well, that's actually more than I thought.
Oh,
because
really?
Microwaves don't cost all that much more.
Mm. Now, this is just...
Because I would expect you to replace the microwave yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If I was going to replace the microwave.
Okay.
But it came and fixed it. So
how did the conversation... I really want to know that... I want to just hear the thing that when the conversation that you say, hey, let's just not have a microwave anymore.
Actually, it was Christy.
And Christy saying, that don't sound right.
Yeah, no, Christy was the one that brought it up because it had broken twice now. And so we decided just to, like, we didn't, like, have the money at that moment just to kind of try to get it running again or whatever. And so we decided, well, let's just go without it for a little bit and then we'll get it fixed. But then we got used to being without it. So we started air popping popcorn, and we started learning the old ways, the ways you have forgotten to reheat food. Because that's what you use your microwave mainly
so,
for, right? Reheating leftovers?
If I remember right, last week we talked about things with a steep learning curve, or was it 2 weeks ago?
It was last week.
Last week, things with a steep learning curve.
Yeah.
Tell me about the learning curve and how to reheat things.
Reheat things.
On a range. Do you have an electric range?
We do. It's electric.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, there's another learning curve to an electric range because it takes time for it to warm up.
Yes.
The temperature's not always right.
Right.
The different eyes are different temperatures depending on the number.
This is a ceramic top too. Okay. A glass top.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I've got one of those. It don't make it right.
Yeah. No, it doesn't make it right. It actually makes it a little more tricky, I think.
So you went back to?
The Stone Ages. Learning. I went back to pre-80s.
So Christy said, well, we've already fixed this twice.
Right.
Do we really want to spend the money?
Yeah.
Let's just not do it anymore.
Right.
And what did you say?
I was really fine with it because I actually heated a lot of things up without the microwave anyway.
Like what?
Like if I had leftovers, yeah. I would tend to heat them up in a cast iron pan over the microwave.
Okay.
For some reason, I just like that. They just seem to. It sometimes microwaves.
I am shaking my
kind of dry right things out or make things taste like plasticky. I was not a big fan of the microwave.
So okay, all right. So were you a? So you grew up the same time period I grew up when the microwave came out.
Right.
So are you one of the ilk that don't trust microwaves in general?
That's interesting because, yeah, when microwaves came out in our life.
Cecil has this big grin on his face as he tells this.
Because you're right. You know, people wouldn't stand in front of them.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Because
were scared that you were going to get some kind of radiation from it.
Oh, yeah.
And there was all kinds of fears about those things.
Lots of fears that becoming sterile.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was a big one. Yeah.
That was a big one.
Yeah, that guys shouldn't stand near them.
That it does something, there's some kind of radiation that it introduces to the food that's unhealthy.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there was all kinds of stuff.
I mean, there was a lot of,
a lot of
stuff.
Had
the microwave came, you know what? I wonder, had the microwave came out in the age of the internet, would it have survived?
That's a good question.
I mean, really, think about it.
Yeah.
Think about, I mean, I'm trying to think about some things that's tried to get started, had kind of a misstep, and then disappeared.
Since the internet?
Yeah, during the internet time.
I'll have to think about that. Yeah, because it would have been, that's the interesting thing, if it would have made it in the
world. I bet you there would have been anti-microwavers.
Now, so microwave comes out, and we've all been used to cooking things for long periods of time to get whatever you wanted.
Yeah.
So you and I still remember having to cook things on the stovetop without any assistance from a microwave.
Right.
So now the microwave comes in, and it's revolutionary. Which nobody even, you have to be our age to realize it.
Right.
It's revolutionary. Like, all of a sudden, cooking times drop dramatically.
Yeah.
And you have all this leisure time, supposedly, to go do other things. But, so people are microwaving everything at the beginning, remember?
Yeah.
I mean, everything went in microwave. I remember somebody tried to microwave hot dogs one time, and they were awful. Like, some things are not meant to microwave.
No, that's right. Yeah. So, like the casseroles we talked about.
Yeah.
You don't put casseroles in the microwave.
Right.
I don't think you've ever seen, I don't know if I've ever seen a casserole recipe designed around cooking in a microwave. I bet you there was one. I bet you there's Easy Microwave Cooking by Betty Crocker.
But there's some things that were great to go in the microwave. Baked potatoes.
Popcorn.
Popcorn. Reheating most things.
Water.
Yep. So anyways, yeah.
Melting things.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the attractions of the microwave is that it's very difficult to burn something. Now you can overcook it and it gets fried, and for the most part it's not going to burn things. And that was my always experience with reheating things on the oven.
Right.
Is that you were saying you think things taste better, you know. Yeah, I don't know, I think I like the burnt flavor of anything.
Right.
In which I often encountered with cooking on the stovetop, reheating on the stovetop.
And a microwave you can walk up and leave it. You can't do that with
stovetop. Oh, you got to watch it.
Because now that I'm back to the stovetop, I have walked off and left things and come back to some situations.
You know, toaster ovens are that way too. We have a toaster oven that I frequently walk off and I walk back to something burnt.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure it's the toaster oven's problem.
So anyways, I rediscovered using my cast iron pan. Because you get the cast iron pan hot.
Sure.
You add a little bit of water to it.
Okay.
And then you can reheat most foods that way. And it actually rehydrates it.
I've never heard about putting water in it. Yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah. So it just creates a little bit of steam around whatever you're heating back up. And it kind of rehydrates, especially if you have rice. So this is why it's hard to rehydrate. It's hard to make old rice, like day old rice, good.
How about green beans?
Yeah, I can do that in a frying pan. And so you.
How about pasta?
Pasta is very interesting. You now boil a little bit of water, just a little bit, and drop it in there, rehydrates it.
It heats it up?
Heats it up.
In the cast iron?
You can do that in a regular pan.
You do that in a regular pot? Okay.
Yeah. So I have basically gone back to my childhood now in how to reheat things. And so we've gotten pretty creative in how we reheat things. Now, the thing I miss is popcorn. I do miss doing that. And occasionally...
Why do you miss popcorn?
Because it was fast. So like with the air popper, it just seems to take longer. I do miss a little bag of popcorn where I could just throw it in there.
Right, right. I'm trying to think how does an air popper... Now, I'm surprised you use an air popper because that's a separate appliance.
It is a separate
appliance. Where you can just popcorn with a little oil in your cast iron pan there.
Oh, yeah. Stuff,
right?
Yeah, on the stovetop. Yeah.
That's old. The old one I remember is that Jiffy Pop. Yeah. It came in a metal foil tin.
Yeah.
Right? And you stick that on top of the stove.
Right.
It starts popping and actually opens up and expands. I remember those. Yeah. But I also remember having several burnt kernels.
Oh, yeah. So that's the only things I've missed. Occasionally, a Trader Joe's bowl, I'll miss microwaving that.
What do you do then?
I don't buy them.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll take them to work.
What do you do there?
They have a microwave.
So are you pretty much done with the microwave?
I think we're done with the microwave. Here's the thing. Once you stop using it, you realize that you didn't really use it for as... Like, you didn't need it as much as you think. Like, it's almost become an essential appliance.
I think a lot of women that do a lot of cooking... Mm-hmm. And listen to our podcast are throwing their phone out the window right
possibly.
Now.
Possibly.
I think so.
Like, you even send microwaves off to school with your kids now.
Yeah.
If the colleges will allow it.
And if they don't, usually they have a microwave mini fridge combo unit in the room for them.
Yes. I mean, it's almost become like, dare I say, ice.
Whoa.
We think we need it, but we don't actually need the microwave.
I'm glad your address isn't well known. Because people are going to be chunking their old microwaves on your doorstep. Yeah. In fact, I have an old one. I might stick on your lawn for you.
Right. Yeah. I think we're done with
microwave. Well, I think my Magnetron's okay. You want to try fixing it?
No.
Okay.
Fixing the microwave? No.
Yeah, I'm just done. Pull my Magnetron out.
No. I think we're done.
Actually, that's probably what's wrong with mine. Yeah, so I've had a microwave. I'm on probably my third or fourth one.
Mm-hmm.
After living in this house for, almost 20 years now. This is probably my third microwave that I've had here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do go out, but they're relatively inexpensive appliances go.
This one's a little pricey because it goes over the range and has a fan, and it's a little bigger. Like, you could put a small turkey in this one. I mean, this is a big one.
That is a big one, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, or it was. Now it's just a cabinet.
What's in there? Did y'all store stuff in there?
No, that just crossed my mind when I said that. We could actually start storing stuff in there.
You should store stuff in there.
We have a little terrarium built in there.
You probably don't want dirt over your stuff.
Now, it does, if you ever notice on the microwave, I learned this because one of my daughters put a fork in there one time, and it almost burnt a small hole in the grid that's across the front of the microwave.
Yeah, really?
But that grid is seriously there to dissipate some of the microwave coming out.
From what I understand, I remember when they first came out and they were talking about all the safety. I think I was with my parents when we were buying our first one, and they were talking about the safety. You know, I've never fact checked this, but microwaves don't turn corners.
Oh, really?
So that's why there's, when you look at your door, there's kind of a lip to it.
Mm-hmm.
The microwaves can't bounce around and turn the corner.
Okay.
That's one thing. And then the frequency of that microwave, even though it says microwave, is such that it can't penetrate a mesh of a certain size.
Right.
And so that's what that's for.
Right.
So you always want to make sure your door is good.
Yep.
And you always want to make sure your mesh is intact. And you just assume everything in the other sides, which you can't see, is okay. But the thing that's always fascinated me about the microwave is that you can't put metal in there. And I've never put metal in my microwave. I don't know why I've never done that.
It creates a little bit of an electrical storm.
Yeah, and I don't know how that works or why that works. Yeah.
And there's I've seen it do it with, like, certain vegetables.
Yeah, like, I feel like black-eyed peas will do it.
Yeah, like, or green bean. I've seen green beans.
You've seen green bean arc? Yeah.
Yep, a little bit of arc with the green bean. Now, I don't know if that's because the green beans are contaminated in some way.
Oh, maybe so. There's some metal flake in there.
Or if there's just something going on with green beans.
But it'd be interesting to put a kind of a tower of green beans, kind of like a Jenga tower of green beans in the microwave, and go ahead and microwave it and see if you can catch some arcs.
Yeah.
Or really figure out what foods cause an arc and if you can do it repeatedly.
So when we got the arc with the fork, damaged that. I thought it damaged the mesh. Okay. And that's what I was worried about, was the microwaves coming through the mesh.
Yeah.
Just because it came up in the 80s. I didn't want any kind of craziness happening.
Right. But
the guy that looked at it one of the times said there was not enough damage to worry about.
All right.
But I always accept that when someone else tells me that.
What's that?
Oh, don't worry about that.
Oh, right.
There's no asbestos in that. Don't worry about that.
Right.
I have trusted some pretty dubious sources with all kinds of things. Like working on the Ranchero, you know the guy.
Have I been that guy for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'll ask you, as long as like I ask you a question, you're like, yeah, that's okay. I'm like, okay.
Have I been wrong yet?
No. But
although you haven't been driving the Ranchero yet.
That's true. But you always need somebody to say with confidence.
Right.
Yeah, that's all right. No, and then you're fine.
Yeah.
Like you might know it's dangerous, you might know it's safe, but you just need that other person just to say
you'll be fine.
And sometimes like people that help you at work, like assistants at work, the best assistants at work are the ones that know when to just say, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Whether they know the answer or not.
Just keep going.
They're just making you confident enough to keep going. You need that kind of person at work. I don't know how we got here from microwaves.
Yeah, no. How has it been for Christy and the girls not having a microwave?
I think
do they eat fewer leftovers now?
Well, I'm probably the leftover eater of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
would you think maybe they would eat leftovers if you had a microwave?
No.
I can tell you that's probably not the case, because no one eats Bunny eats them and I eat the leftovers. Yeah. The girls don't eat them.
Right.
The
I don't know that.
Unless it's pasta. They'll do pasta.
Yeah. I don't think we threw the leftover eating off at all. Except for me.
Right.
But again, I was heating most of myself up in a cast iron pan anyway. So you're
washing out that cast iron pan all the time.
Yes, but I wash it out correctly.
Tell me how you wash it out.
Yeah, so it's my soap.
What's the procedure?
I put it back on the stove and heat it up with water, get everything loose, and just wipe it out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
No soap. You don't scrape it?
Mm-mm. Well, I scrape it, yeah.
Okay, all right.
No soap. That was one of the first disagreements Christy and I had in our marriage. I'd gotten a set of cast iron pans for our wedding, and she was washing one with soap.
Oh.
I was like, that was our first disagreement, when she probably thought
Bunny and I still
married an insane person.
Bunny and I still disagree on this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does she wash with soap?
She does.
Really? Mm-hmm. But she's from Mississippi.
She does.
I would think that would be
just a little soap.
I think there would be
no soap.
A misdemeanor in Mississippi.
Well, then, she moved out of state to get away from that kind of stuff. But yeah, I'm with you. My procedure is I will use a paper towel in very hot water in the sink.
Yeah.
In a plastic scraper. Because I don't get all the big chunks off.
Yeah.
And then, but once it's done, you got to dry it.
Yeah.
And then I'll oil it.
Yep.
What do you oil it with?
These olive.
Olive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which has a low smoke point.
Yeah.
But yeah, I use olive oil.
Yeah,
sometimes canola.
I just use canola.
Yeah.
In the form of Pam.
Yeah.
But my favorite is the Crisco.
Yeah.
Get a thing of Crisco and wipe that thing down. It's all shiny. Oh, yeah. It's the best.
It's perfect, man.
Well, yeah. I will still use a microwave, Cecil. My microwave
broke. I've not convinced you to give up your microwave.
No, my microwave broke a couple weeks ago, and I went without delay.
Oh, you've already replaced it.
Without delay, I changed that sucker out.
This episode's come too late for you.
I don't think you would have changed my mind.
I'm thinking about pulling out the microwave here and putting a new hood in.
That's like what you should
designer
do.
Designer hood or
something. Yeah, you should put a nice hood in there.
Yep. That's what I'm thinking.
Especially if you're exhausting out to the outside.
Mm.
But my microwave just recirculates it. It puts it through a charcoal filter and sends it back directly into the room.
There is a bump in that cabinet, so I think there may be a vent. I think a vent, but I think it vents it into the space over the garage.
Well, that's all right, but that must be the duct.
Yeah.
I think it is. I wish I had that.
Well, we've taken you down a walk down memory lane back to the late 70s, early 80s when we did things a little slower. You've come to the end, but that don't sound right.
Hey, we want to thank everyone for listening. If this is the first time you've ever listened to this conversation, welcome. Think about hitting the subscribe button on the platform you listen with. If you're a longtime listener, please think about giving us a rating and leaving us a review so others can easily find us and join the conversation. Don't either of you, new or old, or somewhere in the middle, don't hesitate to shoot us a message at tdsrpodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to post something on our Instagram, we're TDSR Podcast on Instagram, We had a recent post of a roadside find of a very nice flashlight.
Yes.
It was, it was a $70 to $80 flashlight.
Yeah.
He looked it up. Nice.
And we posted about the a train in Florida.
You know, oh, yes. So back in our episode where we talked about stealing a train.
310 to Greensboro. 310 to GSO, which was episode 28, I think.
Evidently, someone actually did steal a train, drove it for about 10 miles.
Yep.
Brought it back,
right,
and walked out.
Yes.
And evidently there was a padlock on the door, and somehow they got in, started it up, drove it with the parking brake on the whole time.
Oh, really?
They left the parking brake.
Oh, they did.
And yeah. It cost $480 worth of damage.
Yeah, because it damaged it. Yeah, you're right.
I imagine they just wore out the brake pads is what they did.
I would love to meet the person who did that.
I would like to take credit for the idea. B, I would not be surprised if the authorities call us and at least want to know where we were
right
when it happened, just to make sure it wasn't us, because it was our idea.
Yeah. Where were we in Florida? We were not in Florida.
This guy or gal crossed, went through several intersections too.
Yeah. And figured out how to reverse it.
Yeah. 10 miles. And he or she discoupled it too from the train.
Yeah. So the thing
I am so inspired.
They didn't evidently, like, I don't think anybody saw them do this, if I remember the story right. The way they figured it out was the mileage on the computer.
It said someone had moved it.
Yeah, that some there was like a, it was almost like a keystroke capture.
Oh,
like,
it was also in the probably on the odometer. This thing has gone 20 miles. And there's only one direction it could have gone.
Right. And so they said it could have hit people. There could have encountered an oncoming train. I mean, there was a lot of danger.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. I mean,
now on the
I wish there was a way someone, the person that did this, could contact us.
Anonymously contact us.
I would love to talk to that person.
So the train that you and I were talking about in 310 to Greensboro is on a single spur.
On a spur, so it's
perfectly
safe for us to steal this train. But it was padlocked. Evidently, you need a key to open the door, but you don't need a key to start it.
Yeah, that's what they said.
And that don't sound right. You'd think you'd have some kind of combination code or something, but key. No, it's just a padlock.
Right, a key fob.
Clearly, someone got in through the window and did it.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
If it was you, TDSRpodcast at gmail.com.
We'll disguise your voice.
Well, you don't even have to talk to us. Just let us know how that went down.
All right. Well, I hope you are enjoying Daylight Savings Time, the second week of this. That Don't Sound Right is a production of TSR Podcast in conjunction with Camel City Studios. I am your co-host and sound engineer, Cecil. Peter is your other host and his web designer. Camille is our barista, and she made some great coffee today without a microwave.
And good job.
Emily is our graphic designer. Ella does our Instagram. Giorgio tests our merchandise. Brent is our international brand ambassador. And as always, listener number one is Scott. All right, until next week, keep talking.
And stay curious.